good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a gay man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. We discuss local and national Native news and events here. And as you all know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Hey, we should get rolling here soon, Wendy. Mm-hmm. We have a special report from Winona LaDuke up in the deep north, giving us a little editorial, and then we'll go right to Ogama with the news, a little news there. And then we have, of course, State Senator Mary Kunish on today. And
perfect.
Then you might have some tidbits here or there.
I have some tidbits.
That's right. Hey, so the mothership, if you don't mind, can we listen to Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth?
Interdependence Day. This is Winona LaDuke, and I want to talk about Interdependence Day. I'm a patriot to a land, not a flag. Aking, that's the Ojibwe word for land. Aking means the land to which I belong. Not private property, not corporate property, the land to which I belong. And the term Indakingamin is the very land to which I belong. This land is the only land of the Anishinaabe. We are from here, Indaya Oma. About 8,000 years of Native people have lived here in this land, in this Aking, the land to which we belong. The bones of ancestors are the land, and these waters fill me. And at 70% water, I am the same waters of those of the lake and those of the land. I am from this land, and I recognize my interdependence in this world. The 4th of July is a complicated holiday for Indigenous people and people of color. After all, the United States was built on the genocide of Indigenous peoples and the slavery of African Americans. In Minnesota, we remember the mass poisoning of our peoples and starvation, killing 400 of our people at Sandy Lake, then more at White Earth and beyond. Remember the hangings of the 38 Dakota plus two and the land thefts of Minnesota and the United States, from parks and holdings like the Tamarack National Wildlife Refuge and Rice Lake Refuge to the Chippewa National Forest and the taking of 200,000 acres of our land under the Morrill Act to fund land-grant universities, driving our people into small reservation holdings. In the past week, we've seen more atrocities uncovered at Native residential schools where thousands of bodies of Native children have been found buried. Most schools don't have graveyards. All of this sanctioned and forced by the United States and Canadian governments. Under the Tim Walz administration, we continue to witness the discriminatory legal, justice, and economic systems which undermine us and shove giant pipelines through the heart of our territory. Erasure. That's the term we use to describe Native policy in the United States. The intent is to erase us. And in Minnesota, we just make people invisible. Only keeping the promise, they said that they would take our land, and they took it. It's hard to stomach some patriotism through all the trauma, frankly. Democracy itself, however, had Native origins, particularly from the First Nations of the Iroquois Confederacy. Founding fathers like Benjamin Franklin spent much time with the Iroquois in 1744. Canisateo, leader of the Onondaga Nation and spokesman for the Iroquois Confederation, advised the British colonists, quote, "We heartily recommend union and a good agreement between your brethren. Our wise forefathers established union and amity between the five nations. This made us formidable. This has given us great weight and authority with our neighboring nations. We are a powerful confederacy, and by your observing the same methods our wise forefathers have taken, you will acquire fresh strength and power." There's some good founding documents and ideas. The founding fathers, however, had some convenient omissions in their lessons. Iroquois women or clan leaders could appoint and remove chiefs. Quote, a man only served as a leader if nominated by women, and women could call for his removal, for which there was no appeal. Doug George Caniento, a leading Iroquois scholar, explains. We designed political life so women had the authority over how life is preserved, says Doug George. According to the Iroquois tradition, because women are life givers, they had the right to decide also when life was taken. They also had control over their own bodies. Iroquois women were free to walk where they pleased without danger. Indeed, when European American women were captured by the Iroquois, when they were given the opportunity to return, they often preferred to stay. Now that's a far cry from the United States, where women did not have the right to vote till 1919. And by 2020, women represented a scant 23% of Congress. Native people have valued women much more than America. The Iroquois have also had some good lessons about war. Creating confederacy to end wars between nations and burying their weapons under the Tree of Peace. Peacemaking is certainly a practice we could relearn, as we live in one of the most violent societies in the world, having most recently witnessed an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol and a never-ending wartime economy which pushes half of our budget on building a military and accentuates violence, not peace. It's also clear that with all the smarts of the white American men system, we've managed to crash ecosystem after ecosystem, the extinction of more species in the past 50 years than since the dinosaurs. What's clear is that the regulations do not address the violence against nature. They don't address ecocide. There's no boundaries to corporate theft, duly noted in the North, where the Minnesota DNR is giving away all of the water in the Crow Wing and Shell Ring River systems, apparently, to irrigators and companies. 5 billion new gallons allocated to Enbridge in this deep drought. To be clear, when my ancestors signed the 1855 treaty, you could drink the water from every stream and river. Passenger pigeons blackened the skies and buffalo roamed by the millions. The rivers were full of sturgeon. Things have not gone well, and that yet the treaties remain, like the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. It's really time for Interdependence Day, not Independence Day. That's when we can recognize and value each other. That'd be a good evolution for America. And maybe we will all learn to be patriots to the land and care for each other. Miigwech, this is Winona LaDuke talking about Interdependence Day.
Wow, that was awesome, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Needs to be heard, right?
It definitely does. We've got a lot of good comments on our Facebook page coming in about that.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, so we only got like a minute and 50 seconds, Ogama, and we'll probably maybe come to the news with you in the next segment, and then have Mary, State Senator Mary Kunish on. If you can give us just a couple minutes update. I know you got a couple things you want to talk about, so if you can do that, I'd appreciate that. But Lewis, I'm going to have you jump in here right now, if you don't mind, and maybe just give a quick one-minute comment.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about 1855 treaty that Winona LaDuke was talking about, it's important to understand these treaties were nation-to-nation agreements with people, with our nations. They weren't specifically to a chief. They weren't specifically to just a small community. Often we use dialogue and you know, words like community or people or group, and those type of words minimize, you know, these nation to nation treaties with two distinct nations. And you don't make treaties with conquered people. And certainly today we deserve a right at the table to talk about things like line 3, line 5, and you know, killing the black snake where it lies.
Yeah, Pinigigi, Lewis, thank you for your insight. And we see Mary Kunish, state senator's on deck here, and so we're excited, and it's a Friday, and that means we have positive vibes coming from our state senator and with some great updates, and I know she has a campaign ahead that we'd love to talk to her about. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you're listening to the Friday edition of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Sweet little voice.
Exactly. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade. Hey, I'm sorry.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
So we got a little mesmerized by Lewis's work there, doing all that great work for Native Roots Radio. Before we get to State Senator Mary Kunish, I wanted to jump with Ogama. Thank you. I forgot her name. What the heck's going on? I got some timers going on here. I'd like to have her check in with just a couple stories here. I know Winona LaDuke went a little long, but it was well worth listening to her. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. Bonjour, everyone. I'm Ogama Ginuinkwe, and I'm an enrolled member of Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I'm also a lifelong resident of Minnesota. I usually start Native Roots Radio with news from the Line 3 front lines. The big news from this week is really that we are looking at Enbridge having a spill on the Willow River this week. We're not sure exactly if they hit an aquifer or what exactly it was, but they had their spill kit out, and the Minnesota DNR actually, instead of calling to have somebody go out there and, you know, observe what Enbridge has done to the Willow River in Minnesota, they actually sent police there to arrest the water protectors that were trying to stop this. Mm-hmm. And today the White Earth Nation basically pleaded with Minnesota Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan to take action on this. They further called on President Biden and Vice President Harris to take action, and their tribe's wild rice is in a really critical state of danger due to Enbridge's more than 4 billion gallon water permit that they've been given. The Mississippi River near the headwaters in Minnesota resembles a puddle. Police have been harassing water protectors on private property and flying helicopters over their private property. I mean, the situation in Minnesota is getting more and more dire by the moment. And since we have our representative, Senator Mary Kunish, on from Minnesota, I just wanted to take this time today to encourage you to find out who represents you. No matter where you are in the country and where you're listening from, go to us.gov/elected-officials. If you're in Minnesota, you can call Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan directly. Their number is 651-201-3400 or 1-800-657-3717. if your representatives are not representing you and your interests as a progressive citizen in this country, you need to show up. Whether you're an ally or a Native person tuning in, I'm begging you to take action on this today and to call your elected officials, local, state, federal. That's what I would like you to do for this Friday.
All right. Ogama Pinigigi, I just have a quick question before we get with State Senator Mary Kunish. So there was an anonymous statement during that press conference. Do you remember what they said?
The statement was essentially that the White Earth Nation has taken every step that they can think of at a legislative level and at a legal level. They have petitioned, they have called on people, they have sent letters, they have gone to court, and now they have gotten to the point where they have no choice but to use their religious freedoms to take action.
Yeah, and so, the key is to take action, I think, what I got out of it. Pinigigi Ogama for the news, and you know, you've had such a great week. Take the rest of the day off. Appreciate it. We do a lot of behind the scenes stuff too, with meetings and other clients and things like that. Yeah. Ogama is priceless in that. Hey, Wendy, it's Friday, so it's State Senator Mary Kunish Day, and we're really excited to have her on. And I know we have a couple questions before you get going, State Senator. Because we support good senators like yourself. We just got, I don't know, was it invited one?
Well, I saw your Facebook page with your upcoming fundraiser.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that and tell everyone about that?
And we have a little couple questions about it, too. Yeah. Not about yours specifically, but fundraising, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that we have finished session, this 18-month session that is only supposed to be part-time work, we can begin to look at what we're going to do in the future. And one of our goals, of course, in the Senate as a Minnesota DFLer, I'm a Democrat with the Democrat Farmer Labor Caucus, is that we look ahead at our next election. And because this is a two-year cycle rather than a four-year cycle, I will be running for re-election in my district 41, in the fall of 2022. And we look forward to that, but we also look forward at the work that we have to do in order to get that that election done. Hopefully we will flip the Minnesota Senate to a DFL majority, and then we won't have to deal with the ridiculous actions that are going on in the Minnesota Senate because we are a split legislature. So I have a fundraiser, my first fundraiser of the year coming up. It'll be in my district at the Hidden Star or Forgotten Star Brewery in Fridley. We'll have brats that will be prepared. They're specialty brats by Sweet Lou's Meat Specialties. That's my daughter. And we're just inviting all the folks that we know. I'll be sharing it with my state representative, Sandra Feist. She's just elected. This was her first session. She did a phenomenal job. She's an immigration lawyer and has made some really important immigration corrections here in Minnesota. And so we'd like to invite anyone and everybody to attend our fundraiser. It's the first fundraiser for both of us this year. And we'll expect to have, you know, just a super enjoyable evening conversation. But of course, if you find that you're not able to join us that night, you can go to my Facebook page, Mary Kunish for District 41, and contribute online as well, both to me and my House member, Sandra Feist.
So Wendy and I were talking during the break, and we really support you, and we wanted to talk about what is the state law on maximum amount of donating for a tax write-off, and can it be more than one politician, or is it spread out, or is it just specifically one amount?
So there is the PCR, Public Credit Refund, that an individual can take advantage of just one time every election session or election year. So if you contribute to my campaign and I send you the refund form for $50 or $100 for couples, then you've exhausted that that $50. And it's just a one time every year to donate to your favorite campaign. And it can be any of the campaigns in your district, your senator, your congressperson, your representative, not municipal, so not your mayor or your own city council, but at the state level.
Mm. That answers our question. Mm-hmm. That's not very much money.
No, it isn't. And what where that money comes from is when you do your taxes, there is a contribution you can mark off that you would contribute towards the political contribution refund program. And then those dollars go to the Secretary of State's office. They keep track of it within each district. And if you're a Dem that contributes, then your money will go to the Dem. If it's a Republican, then your money will go to the Republican. But on our side, as a candidate, I have to agree to abide by the fair elections and campaign rules, and then I can apply for that public subsidy dollars that will come to me in my campaign.
Wow, that's that's very interesting. It's funny. When you mentioned that you've been on this part-time job, you've been working for 18 months, I just kind of thought, well, there's only 12 months in a year. So you've been working way over time.
Way, way, way over time. It started, of course, last year with COVID and the special sessions that the governor would bring us back every month in order for him to be able to, for us to vote to continue his emergency powers. And it was really important that he kept those powers as long as he could, because it enabled Minnesota to receive unique funding from the federal government, especially around SNAP, which is supplemental nutrition for family. And we just voted it. He agreed to let that go now. And so we will not be having to go back every month to give him those special powers.
Yeah. Next segment, I kind of want to get into what Ogema was talking about, and we're almost done with this segment. But it's amazing. 2 years ago, with the Biden administration taking over this, there was only 2% of the population was vaccinated. And we've been doing, I think Minnesota's at 70% now.
That's fabulous.
At least with one shot, right?
One shot, at least one shot. I think we're near 70%, if I'm...
And, you know, correct. We do a lot of COVID echoing here on our show and other media arms of our Native Roots Radio. And, we just know that the people, 99.9% of the people that are in the hospitals right now, mm-hmm. are not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we could talk maybe a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Mary, and maybe a little bit about what's happening up north, too, and the silence in the... in the big house there on Summit Avenue. Mm. So, hey, if we can do that. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I was pushing up the wrong pod here, and Wendy's going, what are you doing? This beautiful music's coming on. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunisch, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit takecarehennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's takecarehennepin.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With the hot weather we've been having, is your check engine light concerning you? Head over to Rudy Luther Toyota for a full vehicle inspection you can trust. Rudy Luther Toyota's trained service team will check your vehicle and make sure it can handle the heat. And make sure your wiper blades are checked, too. If your Toyota needs new wiper blades, go to RudyLutherToyota.com and get the coupon which gives you $5 off a new pair. Keeping your vehicle cool in the summer heat. That's Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Overnight showers and thunderstorms possible with a low of 65, and showers and storms possible on Saturday with a high of 78. Visit an Eat Local Minnesota restaurant today for a one-of-a-kind dining experience. Cafe Latte, Crooner Supper Club, Hazel's Northeast, Lake City Sandwiches, Nightingale, The Great Wall, and Victor's 1959 Cafe. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, Lewis and I were fighting over the screen there, and
I saw that.
He won.
Yeah, if you watch us on Facebook, which you really should, it's kind of entertaining. You could see Robert and I. And
Robert's and like, you have one job.
You can see everybody, and Lewis has made these really
awesome graphics.
Really cool graphics. So that's what they were laughing about. And Robert and Lewis were fighting over the screen. So
it taking it on or off.
It looked like somebody might have been on crack over here, but...
Oh, no. Hey, what is this portion brought to you by?
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on here, and a couple questions that I have. One of them is, you know, the election's going to be in roughly 500 days, which is kind of scary just to think that it's coming up that soon or less than 500 days. Do we, as liberals here, have a chance to flip the Senate? And I think that's the only really good thing I see out of you only not being in the whole 4 years. You have to run again for 2 years. Is maybe we can knock off a few unwanteds. Let's put them that way. Put it that way. Mm.
From your lips to the voting polls. Absolutely. We really do. It's it, you know, it'll take half a dozen flips, but I think we can do it, and I'm pretty excited to be a part of that.
Yeah,
I can only imagine what we would do with the full control of the Minnesota Senate and House. But you know, in spite of being a split legislature, we did get some good work done for Indian Country, you guys. We actually did put together that Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives office. It's a permanent office in our state government.
I don't know what happened. That's a technical difficulty. We've been talking about that all week, and we're really excited for our little desk in the corner there to help support the MMIW. But no, that is exciting, very exciting. And I know you want to talk more about that, but I'm really excited about because you're on the education committee too, the good work you've done. But go ahead and talk more about that, the MMIW building.
So we'll have that office. There will be four full-time employees, which is quite extraordinary. But you know, when I put together the task force to study the missing and murdered Indigenous women, you know, we knew that it's not just Indigenous women, it's not just Native American women that have suffered this historic violence. You know, when the African people were brought over as slaves, those women were raped and tortured and murdered and disappeared just like our Native women did. And so in addition to creating that MMIR office, we also created a Missing and Murdered African American Women Task Force.
Wow.
And so it follows on the footsteps, which is like really what I wanted. If, you know, if I could have said, you know, what will this look like in the end? You know, the progression of addressing this violence against women, it's starting to happen. And so with both of those, it was an incredible success in those two areas.
You know, we've talked about this, and we've had like Robert Lilligren on and a few other people this week, and that was one thing that was not brought up, and that's totally exciting because I'm kind of addicted to this show on PBS about ancestors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our African-American ancestors have white in them. And that's mm-hmm. because of slave owners owning them. They go back down in their DNA, or not to their DNA, but to the census.
Genetics.
And they're a number instead of a person. I mean, it's shattering for African-American relatives to see this in black and white, but also experience it too. So that's really good, really good news, Mary.
I paired up with Representative Ruth Richardson, who is the chair of one of the education committees in the House. And we didn't, you know, just like with the MMIW task force, we didn't think it was going to happen. And then, you know, through perseverance and negotiations at the last minute, we found out that they would be in there. And it certainly is something to rejoice.
You know, I know you and over a dozen legislators went up to Winona Duke's camp mm-hmm. this past winter, and a couple times I know you've been up there, and just to see what's going on and what we're reporting with the DNR was okayed 500,000 gallons, and now it's really 5 billion. We're in a drought. We're getting fracking done up there. All these things. I know where you stand, but what is your response? What is your response to this?
Well, I'm very, very disappointed. You know, I wish that when the governor became governor, he would have ended this Enbridge Line 3 and sent them in with. The fallout of this pipeline is, you know, it's not just dividing our lands, it's not just plowing through and destroying timber and virgin lands and waters, it's tearing apart our communities. in Minnesota as well. And it's hard enough to see that land being, you know, ripped apart, and but to see the communities as well, and the fallout from this whole Line 3 situation is just absolutely heartbreaking for Minnesota. And so I definitely, you know, stand on the side of water protectors. When we heard about this new permission to take that additional water, and when it was explained to me, it was like, well, this is just the seepage, the groundwater. They're going to take it out, put it somewhere else, and it'll all come back. But, you know, that is the aqua, you know, that those waters trickle into the aquifer. Even if you destroyed that line of water, especially when you're going through really fragile ecosystems, that's destruction of, you know, beautiful Minnesota lands for what? For this ugly pipeline to send sludge through its pipe, you know, at a time when we should be looking at ways to protect our environment, to become more of a green energy kind of establishment. And so disappointed is kind of a soft word to say. We wrote a letter. We had made, you know, really important points. Representative Keeler really charged on that. And we did what we could as legislators. It's unfortunate to say or to realize in some instances how powerless we are to either stop or prevent or do some of the good work that we need to do. And that's one of the heartbreaking parts of being a legislator, when you have to tell people, I'm sorry, I can't do anything right now. There are people with more power and have that decision-making power that are going to have to do it.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad and aggravating for me because Michigan's governors stopped Line 5 from Enbridge, you know. They had the political wherewithal to really do that. And I feel a lot of our community, Mary, felt lied upon and used as voting bait, you know, during this last election. And it's very, very disheartening. And it's got to be hard for you to experience this every day at work.
It is. It absolutely is. And, you know, one thing I also have to say is that, you know, I'm not privy to what goes on behind closed doors or between different groups of people. Sometimes we think it doesn't look like anybody's doing anything about something. And then we find out that, no, there were negotiations or discussions or decisions made. I don't know that this is going to happen in this Line 3. I can only hope. But at the rate that we're going and the way Line 3 is just moving right along in spite of, you know, in spite of the good work of the water protectors, you know, I just feel like we're not going to win on this one, and we're going to see some disasters.
Yeah, and it's really sad too, because our brothers and sisters up there, our tribes up there, are so against this, and it's almost. Go ahead, Ogama.
That was something that was mentioned in the White Earth Nation press conference today as well, is that they really felt disappointed in the current governorship and the current presidency, because they did turn out so many people for the Native vote and worked really, really hard to make sure that these representatives and elected officials would be in there. And Biden has gone back on his climate promise with us by letting Line 3 come through. And it's really frustrating to see how hard we worked, especially like you bring up Rock the Vote Native style all the time. There were thousands of people who turned out in Minnesota who were Native American, who had either infrequently voted or never voted before, who were encouraged to vote in this election for change. And we're not really seeing that change. And it's hurtful. It's really hurtful.
Yeah. Yeah, 8,000 Native Americans up in the deep north were registered to vote for the first time, and I do believe they probably voted for the governor. Yeah. It's a hard one, Mary. Yeah, definitely.
It is really hard. I mean, as a legislator down here, really stuck between a rock and a hard place, because I know that, You know, the governor knows my feelings on this. Then other people know my feelings on this. The trades, the pipe layers, they know how I feel about this. And it really is, you know, it's really frustrating that I can't make that change that I think is really important. And so sometimes you feel like you let people down. And so then I have to turn my focus on in another way to get good legislation passed for our Native folks and for our communities, you know, across Minnesota, because I don't just represent my constituents. I feel like I do represent all of Minnesota.
You do very much. And we know that from the years of knowing you and being on the show. You got 10 seconds. Can you talk about your fundraiser one more quick time?
Sure. It will be this July 22nd. We're having it at Forgotten Star Pub and Brewery, and we would invite all of you to join us.
Pinigigi, that was State Senator Mary Kunish. Back next up, Wendy Pilot with some Sacred Animal News.
And it's Friday, so it's going to be Fun Fact Friday. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Need help getting a COVID-19 vaccine? Trusted community connectors can find vaccination sites, make appointments, answer questions, and provide interpretation. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment or find a community connector, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
There we go. I unmuted State Senator. That was good. Let's do it one more time. She's ready. This portion
of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Good one.
That sounded like a real good, strong wolf pack.
That's right.
I just want to say one thing before we go on. You know, one of our sponsors, Jay Selby, plant-based eatery at 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul. They just opened their restaurant again, so they're taking people that you could go and sit down and eat. So that's exciting. I'd like to get back there and sit down and have some dinner.
Hey, should we have like a round table? Do you have a quick state senator still on? And do you want
to? Awesome. Let's just talk.
Do you have a quick, maybe some good trivia here? We could start out the animal section
well,
here.
I had this website here. It's called Tree Hugger Sustainability for All. And it's kind of cute. It gives a lot of fun ideas about animals and things. But did you know, I didn't know this, but a reindeer, its eyeballs turn blue in the winter to keep them able to see in lower light levels.
Did you know that, State Senator? Did you know that?
I feel like I do know that. You know, wow,
I didn't know
my
that.
My profession is outside before the legislature was a library media specialist. So I have read many a books, fiction and nonfiction, and I have had many students come to me with fun facts. And I have a feeling that somebody has shared that fun fact with me before.
Wow.
Well, let's hear another one. Let's see what else.
That's the first time I've ever heard that one before.
Let's hear what else she's got, Mary.
I'm sure she knows this one. And I think I knew this one before, but a polar bear, you know, has a white fur, but its skin is actually black.
What?
It has black skin.
I was going to say pink.
A polar bear has black skin. Yeah.
Wow. Did you know that?
I did not know that one.
Yeah.
Lewis, did you know that?
The skin of a polar bear is black.
I would assume it's peach, just like everything else in the world, right?
Oh, my goodness. What else did you want me to do? One more?
Sure.
It's
Fun Fact Friday.
Let's see here. Goats. Goats?
Yeah.
Yeah, the animal goats, they can pick up accents from each other. So I guess like there could be like upstate New York goats that have kind of like a, like when you live in New York, you have
a
New York accent, but the people who live upstate kind of have a different accent.
You sound like they say, you're from Yonkers.
They say water and, you know, dawn. And when you're downstate in New York, where I grew up, you say, you know, water.
Hey, before
park
we get
the car,
park the car. Forget about it. Hey, before we get to going too far here, I just want to give a shout out to Dana, who said, "Thank you, Mary Kunish. You have been a great senator," and I just want to give her a shout out too.
You.
But yeah, really nice. And you know, it's fun too. I always joke around about this, but you know, State Senator Mary Kunish has been on our show for quite a while now, and we really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate you being on Fridays, too, because I think there's a lot of good information to start the fun information. And especially, you're always really positive about seeing things on both sides of the coin. And so it's been fun to kind of end Fridays that way, Wendy.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to end on a good note.
So I have a question for you guys. Have any of you been to the Corn Palace?
No.
In South Dakota?
No.
Mitchell,
I've seen it, though.
From South Dakota, so yeah.
Wow.
Lewis has. Well,
I have to drive to a conference out in Rapid City, and so I'm going to drive so that I can see the Corn Palace. I think I've driven by it, but I've never stopped there, so we'll have to see what our timing is like. But, yeah.
Are there any?
Corn Palace is going to be the big hit for the summer.
You go to Corn Palace and then you go to Waldrug and get the bumper sticker. Where is Waldrug? You know.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for a state senator?
You know, look out for those deer, and more importantly, corporate bikers. You know, it's funny that in the summer in Sturgis and Rapid City, growing up, you would always have people falling off their bikes because, you know, they do a desk job and they got this brand new bike and it's their first trip going to Sturgis and they end up on the side of the road. So definitely we need you. But I wanted to say another thing to you, Mary. I don't think we've ever spoken, but I'm a citizen of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and I know that you're Standing Rock. And I just wanted to encourage you and say that, you know, people like you make my heart full of and so encouraging to see women like you in our leadership position because you represent, you know, a generation of us that look up to you and a lot of us look up to you and you know, the accomplishments that you do and many other people do and that are indigenous in, you know, these colonized governments trying to make change for Indian country. And I know it can't be easy, but I just want to let you know that we love you and we stand behind you. And it's just it's a great thing to see. And you're blazing a trail for the young ones.
Well, I hope so. And thank you. Thank you so much for those encouraging words. There are days where I'm just like, man, why am I doing this? We just can't seem to get a break. And then, like I said, something happens really great. But when you look at here in Minnesota in just 5 short years, well, actually more like, let's say, 7 years with the first Native American woman, Susan Allen, being elected mm-hmm. to the legislature. And then, of course, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Jamie Becker Finn and Heather Keeler. What we have been able to do in that short of time is nothing short of miracles. And it's not even what we do, but it's the holding people accountable. Like when there's legislation going through and it's going to affect our tribes, you know, our first question is like, have you spoken with the tribes? Have you conferred with them? Are they in agreement with this? Do they even know you're doing this kind of stuff? And we're explaining, you know, the consequences of these actions and the historical, you know, misuse of the sovereignties and the rights. And so it's so important that we have our Native folks in positions where they can just share the stories and tell the truth. And I'm just really proud. I know that, you know, I'm probably going to get a little teary here. You know, some of my ancestors fought really hard. My great aunt was Josephine Gates Kelly. She was a Carlisle boarding school person. She married my uncle, my great uncle. He was out there too. He ran away. We have their records. He ran away, and they finally let him go home when he cut his leg off jumping a train. So those are the histories that I carry. And Josephine Gates was the first chair of the Standing Rock Nation, first woman, should I say. And I grew up hearing those stories, you know, and hearing how she hitchhiked to Chicago to advocate for her tribe, how she fought against, like, the Oahu Dam. Is that how you say it? Oahu Dam out there. I mean, she was sort of like one of the original water warriors. And those are the stories I grew up that really inspired me. And I know what my grandma and my grandpa went through to be, to live the life that they did. And I guess in some ways this is retribution for what they all went through. So thank you for those words. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, that is the weekend is starting now, Wendy.
That was awesome, Mary. Thank you for sharing that about your family.
And I just want to say one thing too, Wen, is that all the Native community, the leaders of Alban women, and the women have voted the men in and voted them out as leaders of tribes. And that's the way it's been. And we have to recognize that that's a good way. And keep moving forward and respect our women and respect everyone. Hey, I just want to thank Wendy for a great week. Louis Ogama, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.